I am honored this morning to speak on behalf of my sisters, my in-laws, and our mom today. It's fitting that we're here in this building, in this sanctuary, because this is where many of our childhood memories took place. Mom's love for God, her family, and the body of Christ were foundational in her life. My mother was barely 21 when I was born. She had several teenage siblings. A few were school-aged, and her youngest sister was a toddler. Family was very important to her, and she took that into her marriage to her dad. As her siblings grew up, married, and had children, Mom cherished each in-law and niece and nephew. She also loved her extended work family. Mom told me that when she married Dad, she believed that they would be called into ministry at some time in their lives. And I don't think it came as a surprise to her when Dad was ordained here as pastor at Groffdale in 1965. At that time, Mom and Dad had four children. I was seven, and Byron, the baby, was a year old. I sometimes wonder if she knew how drastically her life would change in those few weeks and months. One story that changed that we as children experienced was the seating arrangements on a Sunday morning. So the layout was different up here at that point. The podium was raised, and on each side of the pulpit were four benches that faced inward. So this would have been the woman's side, and that was the men's side. So prior to Dad's ordination, Dad would take some of us girls to sit with him in church on the men's side, and Mom would have Byron, the baby, over here on the woman's side. The next Sunday after his ordination, she had us all by herself, all four of us, in church and had to sit in the Amen corner. So that was prior to having a staff nursery, children's church, or the acceptance of bringing lots of things in kids' bags to do. I don't know what we did to entertain ourselves, but I know that the older women sitting around us passed us lots of candy, made little baby cradles with their hankies, gave us tricky dogs, etc., to help our mom out. I remember Mom saying on the way home from church one Sunday, "I don't even know why I go to church. We're just entertainment for everyone." As Mom grew in her role as pastor's wife and we children got older, our mother's gift of friendship, generous hospitality, listening, compassion, humor, and enjoying life filled our home. Growing up, Mom and Dad showed us what sacrificial love and care for others was, especially for those who needed it most. She very easily drew people into her life, even though many were quite different than herself. Mom was always ready to help out and love people. She was in it for the long haul with people and not just a quick fix. She always was concerned that people would know and follow him. Over the years, we shared our mother with a lot of people. I was reminded of that this week when somebody referred to Mom as being their Millie Mom. I don't remember ever being resentful about that. I believe it was because our mom was present for us. Just a short story about that. Mom made it a priority to always be home when we got home from school, and that was something that we could always count on. She was always there. One day I got home from school and she wasn't home. She hadn't even left a note. So I went through the house calling her name, and then I became almost certain that the second coming had happened and Mom had been raptured. I was very relieved for more than one reason when she walked through the door. She told us that she loved us with her words and actions. She loved us by showing her love and commitment to Dad. Mom opened her heart and home to our friends. She showed interest in their lives, and she loved to kid around with them. Mom loved to laugh, often until the tears ran down her face. She loved a good joke, and she couldn't resist a fun prank. In fact, sometimes my sisters and I wondered if our guy friends and boyfriends liked to hang out with Mom more than they did with us. She welcomed our spouses with an open heart and welcoming arms. She quickly drew them into our family. She loved babies, and the arrival of each grandchild and great-grandchild was a special delight and joy to her. She even went to Germany for 6 weeks to be with Brenda and Joseph and Micah after Dominic's birth. She was proud that she mastered flying home by herself because she even had a layover in London. She laughed and celebrated with us during times of joy and happiness. She made our birthdays, holidays, and just regular days memorable. She encouraged us in our marriages and parenting. But as easily as she laughed, she also cried. Tears of compassion and empathy. She had a very tender heart. She cried and held us during times of sadness, grief, and deep struggle. Dad found Mom's funeral service wishes a couple weeks ago. At Mom's request, our service today includes a lot of music. She loved music. We remember her playing the piano, singing around the house, and even playing lots of vinyl records. These last years of her life have not been easy. The two things that we continued to experience in her presence was her smile and her love for music. Our mother wasn't perfect, and she would be the first to admit that. But today is a day to honor her for the gift that she has been in our lives. We miss her already, but are comforted by believing that she is singing today before God's throne, and her whole face is lit up by her smile.
I promise I didn't come here to make you laugh. It's not my intention, but I have to say this, and I hope you don't laugh, because I'm the reason why she kept so humble for so long. And if you want to know more about that, ask some people or stay for lunch, and then you might hear some stories that are not being told here in protecting her dignity. I recently heard someone say there are two kinds of lives people live. Some live resume lives. Resume, does it make sense to you? Resume, like something you write for a job. And some live eulogy lives. Resume lives we read about in job applications or possibly even in obituaries. It lists accomplishments, it talks in figures and facts, what kind of job one held, how famous one is, what influence someone carried. Eulogy virtues are how one lived and why. It speaks of what really matters and what didn't. It is not measured in productivity, but in fruitfulness. A eulogy life has not so much to do with how many books you read, but how many lives you touched. Not what you're known for, but who you are known by. In short, eulogy virtues are not about your possessions, accomplishments, and acquired degrees, but how much you loved. I recently read these words from the Apostle Paul, who speaks of these virtues that can be eulogized in a letter to the Romans. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. When I read these words, I was thinking of Millie, and I was thinking, what would her life sound like? And I could not change but one thing, her name. Millie's love was sincere. She hated what was evil and clung to what is good. She was devoted to others in love. She honored others above herself. She never lacked zeal but kept her spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. She was joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. She shared with God's people who were in need. She practiced hospitality. She blessed others, even those who were not kind to her, well, except for once or twice on April 1st. She rejoiced with those who rejoiced and mourned with those who mourned. She lived in harmony with others. She was not proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. She was not conceited. Mom, you lived a phenomenal life that can't be summed up in 3 points and 10 minutes, but I tried just by highlighting three roles that comes to mind when I think of you, and those are Millie the gardener, Millie the mother, and Millie the friend. So Millie the gardener, you loved gardening. You cultivated the earth. Everything you touched and planted became beautiful. You saw life like a garden. You looked beyond the dirt and the muck because in your mind's eye you saw the flowers which could come forth in due time. This is how you treated everything in life, especially the people you encountered. When you and Dad first joined Western Mennonite Fellowship in its beginning stages, you went right in the mix of things, disregarding the sometimes extremely challenging situations people had to deal with. And you even served on the leadership team for some time. What you and Dad helped plant that season in the garden has brought much fruit, has brought forth much fruit. The other day I heard a testimony on that, and this is a person that can't be here today, but I want to speak her words. I walked away from faith for 20 years, but Millie met me when I first came to West End with a smile, and I felt immediately welcome. I observed Millie's childlike faith and her love for the Word and the way she fully expressed that love around her. Each person she met, she treated like an individual expression of God. She loved others. She loved others well. She loved others well. She had a pure love that I believe came from knowing that she was loved by God unconditionally. Millie, the mother, you had four children who you loved, nurtured, and raised to be God-fearing men and women. When you had grandchildren, you tirelessly helped to raise them too. So Brenda and I remember when you had trouble getting Micah to sleep and we were at our wit's end. In fact, I wasn't sure if I should say that, but he was 3 months old and we were actually debating what is the earliest age that you can spank a kid? Because we were so frustrated. This guy just didn't want to sleep. He enjoyed life too much. But you stayed up with him until late, until eventually you laid him on your chest until he finally fell asleep. You had a special touch with babies. Not only were you a mother and grandma to your family, but so many others, and it has been said. Everyone that God brought into your life, you treated like your own. You loved the unlovely, the undeserving, those people have given up on because you loved like a mother who never gives up on her children. Like with the garden, you could see beyond the often imperfect surface you were presented with. You saw people like budding flowers. And like the sun, with your warm smile, you reflected their beauty and dignity back to them. Your compassion was for all people who wanted to be counted as one of your children. Your compassion was that of a mother in labor. You bore many of their sorrows, which you lifted up with tears to the Father. The table was always set for one more who wouldn't have a place at Christmas or Thanksgiving. Because there was always one more place at the table of your heart. Coming to you was like coming home. And Sherry can attest to that. How the world longs, and the Lord too, for mothers just like you. You can answer that. Maybe it's an important message. The dolls you cradled in your arms, even to your final days, speak of that mothering love and nurturing spirit long after your mind could no longer distinguish names or people or the days of the week. Thank you, Millie Mom. And Millie the friend. You were a faithful friend, most visible in the way you supported your husband every step of the way. Your life was not without hardship. You raised up four children, as you heard, while your husband was busy studying, working, and caring for a flock. You were a friend and confidant to many who needed a listening ear or a shoulder to cry on. You stood with us when we lost loved ones, putting your own grief aside to be there for us when we needed you the most. Your wisdom was much desired. Many at West End sought your friendship and mentoring, especially among young folks. I was always struck by the fact when we asked people, who would you want to be mentored by? Who should be your mentor? And it hardly ever failed. It was Jolly and Millie that were first on the list. And I believe it had something to do with longevity. People that saw in them that it's possible to stay 50 years married and beyond. And be faithful in friendship, as we heard for many years. That's something that people don't always experience. And anyhow, thank you for that. Your friendship lifted the load as your optimism and joy was so contagious. Someone from West End said this when she received news of your passing. I remember her as a woman whose eyes often brimmed with tears of compassion and of joy. I can also vividly recall her laughing. She was a remarkable woman. Her love for Jesus expressed in her love for people will always remain with me. And just very recently at Landis Homes, you and Brenda started laughing, Mom, about something, and you found it particularly amusing, and you laughed until you had tears. Your smile was the last thing that left you. And while verbal communications became scarce, the last word from your mouth was an occasional love you too, as your lips puckered up to kiss us goodbye. In Landis Homes, you made friends with residents and staff alike, and thanks to those who so tended to Mom in Landis Homes. We appreciate that. They became part of the family. You lived your life as one who knew that Jesus was your friend. You were willing to lay down your life like him. Thank you, Millie Friend. Millie, lots more could be said, not least how you have put up with this wayward son-in-law who now is entrusted and honored with eulogizing your life. You have done your part. Now, God, your gardener, your father, and your friend has provided a place for you. In your new home, there's a big table, and it has been set the day before you arrived, or maybe much longer, just like you always did when you expected company Sunday noon. When that sunny Saturday morning or early afternoon at Landis Homes, surrounded by loved ones, you walked through that door that has been open a crack for some time now, with one more I fly away, and what a friend we have in Jesus. And I might be wrong in my theology here too, but that's what I have written, so I'm not going to change it. You were eagerly awaited by Jesus on the other side. Maybe I change it anyhow. I'm going to improve on Lloyd. I was waiting for that moment all my life. Lloyd is my hero partly, and I need to correct you on your theology now. I believe that Jesus wasn't just there at the bedside ushering her home. He was there with her all her life, right? And I think you said that, so I didn't improve much on it. But Jesus was there all the way with her, and she knew it. And I just believe there was a very special moment, and maybe you want to picture God the Father, when Jesus handed her over to the Father, and he received you with a big embrace and the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And right behind him were your parents. But wait, they didn't get to you because someone else butted in line, lifting you up and swirling you around. It's Micah yelling, "Grandma, you have no idea what is there to see. Let me show you around. Let me show you around your new garden ready for spring." I'm done, and your eulogy virtues got so much longer than your resume, but I let you have the last word, and with what you said there at the end of the funeral arrangement that you secretly left in the drawer for us, as you said, to make it easier to plan. And this admonishment you spoke of us would be truly the greatest legacy. And again, it has been said, Lloyd, thank you for saying it so clearly. It would be truly the greatest legacy you can leave, and would honor you and Jesus the most. And that is, at the end of your handwritten paper, you say, "Be faithful to God, so we can all be together in heaven as an unbroken family circle, forever praising his name." And then you said, "See you soon." Millie, keep gardening, mothering, and making new friends. Making heaven even more beautiful, and keep crying, not tears of pain, but of joy, as you praise his name forever. See you soon, Millie. Love you.
Not sure how to follow that up here, but thank you, Yosef, for always doing that. As a family and as grandchildren, we're just so thankful that you're all here today. And I know we can all say that she was deeply loved. And she was someone that we celebrate today. And I'm going to be using Nana and Grandma interchangeably here because some of us called her Grandma and some of us called her Nana. So just wanted to mention that as I share. We all have stories that could be shared of a life well lived. And I look forward to continuing to share those memories today and later today. And this week has just been a blessing to just talk about her life and to remember her legacy. And as these wonderful people that will be joining me up here shortly, and also as Micah, it was beautiful to see his picture up there with her, is watching her here from heaven, we can all of us rise up and call Nana blessed. We certainly can. And just as Yosef shared, I'd like to share three things that especially brought blessing to us as her grandchildren. And the first one would be her character, as we've shared about her legacy, but specifically her kindness, her generosity, and her loving affection. Her kisses, her hugs for greetings and goodbyes were always there, and she was definitely unique in that. I mean, it was something that definitely stood out, and I always felt loved in a special way by her through that. I might have even gotten my first kiss from her. Sorry, Em, my wife. But she gave so much of her time for others, and her eyes and her smile usually sparkled with kindness. And I want to live out that legacy in the next generations as I raise my family and as a husband and a follower of Christ. The second part of that that brought blessing was her spunk, her energy, and her sense of humor, as we all have been sharing already. She wasn't perfect. In some ways, she was too trusting. I know Yosef hinted at this. But she always fell for April Fool's jokes. And I specifically remember one that Yosef and even Grandpa got involved with. There was this special thing for their lawn called Moles, that there was a big bag of this stuff that was brought in, and she was like, oh, this is great. We won't have to spend so much time in the yard. We can spend more time with people. This is wonderful. And she's like, oh, we should start spreading this around. And it ended up in, oh, Charlie, and probably, oh, Yosef, pointing her finger, but also expressing her subtle gratitude for how much they loved her in that. And that was just something that being picked on was a sign of love for her in that. But she definitely got April Fool's jokes on her way too much. But it was a beautiful thing because it showed how much she trusted people and how much she cared about people. So it was always a loving thing for her. And she also, as we've been sharing, had such a love for Christ that was so evident as her grandchildren. And also with Grandpa and her and their ministry, it was something that we as grandchildren were able to see growing up. And this was most important to her, part of her legacy. Her joy for her Savior was evident throughout her life. And as we, you know, have been sharing as a family, the letters have been coming out of things that she wanted instructions for today. But there's a couple things that really stuck by me that she wrote as I want to follow in that legacy. That she said this: I experienced God's love by praying for my grandchildren, especially praying that they find spouses that love the Lord. That was really meaningful to me. And also, she said, we are blessed to know that our grandchildren are living for the Lord. She also looked forward to more great-grandchildren in her letter, and her and Grandpa are experiencing that gift even today. So in closing, as we celebrate what the Lord Jesus has done in her life today as the gift of giving Nana and Grandma to us, he truly receives the glory today in her remembrance. And we definitely love you, Grandma, and we look forward to joining you and Micah in glory someday. So enjoy that perfect heavenly grass until we meet again, knowing that you don't have to mow it.
What a wonderful collage of stories, memories, faith stories, funny stories, music. Thank you so much. And I think probably all of you have as children and grandchildren probably have heard, Charlie, you told me there was one other little instruction that she left on the notes with her funeral plans to you children and I think grandchildren as well, that she said, she wrote, if I go first, please take care of Daddy. And I know that you will, and she knew that you will as well. Join me in prayer as we move towards the close of this service. I've paraphrased words from Psalm 16, part of which I read earlier. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for the refuge of salvation which you have provided for our sister Millie in this life and the next, and for all of us by placing trust in Jesus, the Savior. All that we have that is truly good is a gift from you, our Lord, and we are grateful. Today we are especially thankful for the gift of Millie Wirt, who has blessed our lives, for she is one of your delightful and glorious saints. You give us a cup of pleasant and peaceful blessings. Though this life may include painful experiences also, yet you are our comforter and protector, and you promise us a delightful heavenly inheritance. Through the night hours and the daylight, you offer us counsel and instruction. You are always at our right hand, and we desire to keep our focus upon you so that we will not be shaken. Our hearts are glad, our tongues rejoice, and our bodies will rest secure because you will not abandon us to the grave and destruction, because your Holy One has been resurrected from the grave. And O God, you have made known to us the path of life. You will fill us with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. In the name of your Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus, we pray this. Amen.